From our bureau in Wausau, this is Morning Edition on WPR News. I'm Shereen Seewert. A recent case of mumps in Clark County is prompting concerns about the emergence of this rare disease in rural Wisconsin. Joining us today is Dr. Jonathan Tempte, a professor of family medicine and the associate dean of public health and community engagement for the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Tempte, thank you so much for joining us.
And good morning. Always a pleasure to join you.
How common are mumps cases, really?
Well, they're not all that uncommon. Every year in the United States, we see anywhere from 1,000 to 4,000. And those are just the cases that are identified and reported. But this is a disease that oftentimes is either asymptomatic or has very nonspecific symptoms. So we really don't know. But what we do know is we see a whole lot less than we used to before we had a safe and effective vaccine.
Why do cases of mumps persist despite widespread vaccination programs?
Well, there are two good reasons for this. Number one, we are lagging in uptake of vaccine for this particular virus. And the vaccine is packaged together with measles and rubella. So it's the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. And unfortunately, across the country and here in Wisconsin, we've been seeing the rates of uptake of this vaccine slowly drop off. The second reason is of the three components of this vaccine, the mumps component is the least effective. That being said, it's still, you know, in the upper 80s or low 90% effective in preventing cases, but it's not 100%. So keeping up with vaccine and making sure that people have not only one, but two doses is really important.
Who is most at risk of contracting mumps?
Well, typically in Wisconsin, what we've seen historically is really in the college age group. You have young people who are congregated together, but then we have people across the age spectrum. Historically, now going back, you know, decades, it was the younger individuals who had probably the more significant effects of this virus. And those effects can include nervous system issues, inflammation of the testicles and ovaries, and things like that.
I'm curious if there are any environmental or social factors in rural areas like Clark County, where we just saw a recent case, that might increase the likelihood of mumps spreading.
Well, the concern that I would have is that of all of our counties in Wisconsin, Clark County has the second lowest rate of coverage for the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, and it's at about 52% for the measure that we have at 2 years of age or 24 months looking for two doses. So the door is open for potential spread, especially in counties that have low coverage. In Wisconsin, we tend to find a pattern between lower coverage in rural areas, higher coverage in urban areas. And there are many, many reasons for this.
What are some of those reasons?
Well, first and foremost, I think there's access to care issues. That when you have ability to get vaccine very, very close to home, when you have sufficient pediatricians, family physicians who have availability of clinic appointments, that it makes it much more easy to get vaccinated. There can be increased hesitation in rural areas, sometimes because of that lack of availability of clinical practices, the trusted purveyor of information may not be as available.
You said that mumps can sometimes be asymptomatic, but what are the signs and symptoms of mumps, and how are they differentiated from other illnesses that might have similar presentations?
Well, again, about 20% of cases can be asymptomatic. Maybe double that, 40 to 50% would be very nonspecific, muscle aches, tiredness, headache, low-grade fever, some respiratory. But about 30 to 40% of the time, the classic is what we call the chipmunk cheeks, the big swelling of the salivary glands in our cheeks, where it looks like somebody has a big piece of tobacco stuck in their cheek. You know, it's really sticking out there. That's kind of the characteristic. When we see that, we're much more likely to test for mumps. And the one little caveat here is oftentimes influenza can cause that swelling as well. Having high-level laboratory techniques, basically these molecular methods called polymerase chain reaction tests, are the ones that can really define whether or not we see mumps or not. Oftentimes, when we're testing and identifying a case, there are many, many more cases in the community that we don't detect. Fortunately, we see very few of those long-term problems. Back in the era before we had vaccines, basically one person 50,000 would come down with a very significant brain infection called encephalitis. One in 20,000 might end up with deafness. We rarely see that anymore. More commonly, we saw the inflammation of the testicles, inflammation of the ovaries, and for the testicles, about 30% of young males, young females about 5%, but those rarely ended up with any long-term consequences such as infertility. In terms of the swelling of the salivary glands, those come and go, but don't leave with any long-term. So it's really the things that we were concerned with in the past, it was the encephalitis and deafness.
What comes next? What steps should public health officials and the community as a whole take to prevent further spread of mumps in this case?
When we have a legitimate outbreak, so a single case is not going to raise that alarm. But if we start seeing more cases, the CDC has recommendations for providing a third dose of MMR vaccine. Usually, for most of us, two doses are sufficient. But in response to a mumps outbreak, we can use the MMR vaccine to help contain that. And again, I want to really emphasize that that vaccine is not only very effective, but is very, very safe. From a public health standpoint, trying to improve our rates of vaccine coverage across the state, across our counties, is very, very important. And again, emphasizing the vaccine is safe and effective.
Dr. Jonathan Tempte, thank you so much for sharing all of this with us today, and thank you for being here.
And again, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Take care now.
If you have an idea about something in central Wisconsin you think we should talk about on Morning Edition, send it to us. Our email address is central@wpr.org. And remember, you can always find great stories from WPR News, including this one, online at wpr.org. I'm Shereen Seward from our bureau in Wausau. This is Morning Edition on WPR News.